Why does this world find it so hard to be faithful? Perhaps it's because they don't know God and his faithfulness toward his people. The world we live in is a very confused one, full of selfishness and hate, most of all in evil, and an unwillingness to acknowledge God their maker. Our God is slow to anger and great in mercy and loving kindness. But our merciful God can only wait so long until humanity nearly destroys itself. Then he will need to step in to save his creation and his people. Why do they not believe and keep his commandments? God calls them fools for not believing in him. They reject God's faithfulness because they don't wish to keep him in their knowledge. For our first scripture, please turn with me to Romans 1:28 through 32. That's Romans 1:28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same things, but also approve of those who practice them. They want to push God out of anything they can. Our schools, our job, and our government. There are so many stories surfacing in this world about kids and adults being persecuted for something as simple as praying in public, or a child reading Bible verses to students. One article I came upon on the internet was about a young boy who in his cafeteria, his mother would pack him his lunch and would give Post-its with Bible verses on it. He shared them with the students, and the next day a deputy came to his parents' house and said he must stop sharing the Bible verses. Children cannot even read the Bible during free reading time, but they do approve of having an after-school Satan club. Faithfulness is the pinnacle of any relationship, but the most important is the one with our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Savior was faithful even to death on the cross. If he showed that love towards us, then we need to be faithful to him and his Father that sent him and loved us so much. We have some great examples of what strong faithfulness looks like thanks to the Word of God. David, who went up against Goliath with just a sling and a stone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not bowing down to the image and trusting in God to save them from the fire. These men of God showed real faithfulness to God, and they are remarkable because they did not falter, even in the event of dying. There are so many examples in the Bible of God's faithfulness towards us and our faithfulness towards him, but no better example than this, that our Savior trusted in God the Father enough to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." He took the stripes for the whole world, knowing in the end he will rise victorious in death, proclaiming death is swallowed up in victory. What a God we serve that he would look down on us and think of us. God is love. Now that we see examples of men and women of God in his word that were faithful to him, we should be sowing fruits of faithfulness just like them as God's people. How do we show we are faithful to him? What is he expecting of us? While Jesus was here on earth, he told the people that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to outline 3 points on how we need to be faithful towards our Creator and what he expects from his church. The first way we show faithfulness toward God is contained in the word itself, being full of faith. Faith in seeing things unseen. Faith when we face adversity and persecution. Faith in Christ's work on the cross. Faith that he will soon return as conquering lion and king and the resurrection from the dead. Jesus spoke a lot about faith. In Matthew 17:20, He uses a mountain as an example on how strong our faith needs to be and what extraordinary heights faith can take us in our relationship with God. Nothing is impossible if you are in Christ. Any attempt at a relationship is futile without faith because it is the pinnacle. We must walk by faith, not by sight. The Jews saw many miracles in their sight, so seeing isn't always believing to the heart of hearts. They still wouldn't believe. How greatly blessed we are that we see, that we do not see, yet we still do believe. We put on the righteousness of Christ. You become vulnerable to Satan when you doubt and have no faith. We see Jesus walking on the water and Peter going out with him and losing faith that he'll keep him from sinking. I can go all day here on faith. There are so many scriptures pertaining to it. But I'll give one more truth on faith that I want to share. Your prayers to God get answered in his timing when you have faith. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name according to my will, it will be done for you. You can receive healing spiritually or physically in accordance to the will of God. Satan's ultimate goal is to destroy your faith because he knows it's the focal point of your relationship with God. He makes you think, God doesn't love me or my sin is too great. His grace is too good for me. Do not let the enemy win. He's the father of lies, and he knows he has a short time. God loves you with the most powerful love imaginable. Respond to his love and keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Rather, they are preparing you for his kingdom, where he will show the whole world his commandments and feast days. What a beautiful vision that truly is. And my second point on faithfulness, I want to focus on love. The Apostle Paul says the whole letter of the law stands on love, and that is true. The first four commandments show us how to love God, and the last six show us how to love your neighbor. Without love, you can throw out the law. Jesus tells us that loving God and our neighbor are the two greatest commandments. Our Lord understood the relationship between love and the law of God. The law is love. Paul uses some strong words to describe what the law is and how we should view it. Please turn to Romans 7, 7 through 12. That's Romans 7, 7 through 12. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The Christianity of the world misunderstands Paul greatly in his epistles. They think Paul taught the law as futile and nailed to the cross. Here, Paul is plain simple in his wording. No confusion here. Now that we see that God's law shows us great love, we need to show love towards our neighbor. God shows us the way we should go by his examples. In Matthew 5:46-47, Jesus tells us that if we love only those that love us, what reward should we receive? We need to love those that hate us as well, and those that persecute and mock us. The Apostle John talks to us about love. Turn to 1 John 4:7-8. That's 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This world has a warped view on what love truly is. Satan has created a counterfeit love of God's true love. A while back, all we kept hearing is love wins in regards to the same-sex marriage ruling. This is an example of the counterfeit lustful love the world offers. Choose God's love instead, which is genuine faithfulness. Now, to close up this message, I will give you one more truth on faithfulness. God's Sabbaths and holy days are so full of meaning and truth. We don't just gather here on the seventh day of the week because we feel like it, but because it's commanded by our God and He loves us and knows what we need. God shows us His faithfulness in giving us these truths, for calling us to the truth of His plan of salvation pictured by the feast days, His gospel of His death, burial, and resurrection from the dead and the future resurrection of glory, and the establishment of His everlasting kingdom in a new heavens and a new earth. And we show gratitude and faithfulness back to our Father and His Son by keeping His times and seasons so that we may inherit all things as one family, the God family. God has such a beautiful plan for us. He has laid it all out there for His church. We can have the inheritance and peace He has set forth for us. We just need to stay faithful to Him and fight the good fight till the end, and praise Him always in saying, "Great is thy faithfulness." Thank you.